Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM, Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. This is the Inside Segment. I'm Harold Fisher.
He shot and killed horrifically, incomprehensibly, 14 students and killed a teacher. He abandoned his vehicle and entered into the Robb Elementary School in Uvalde with a handgun, and he may have also had a rifle. He himself is deceased and is believed that responding officers killed him.
For the second time this month, gun violence has ended the lives of more than a dozen people in one incident. Federal agents remain on the scene of a mass shooting that killed 14 elementary school children and a teacher in Uvalde, Texas, 85 miles west of San Antonio. We are getting reports that at least 13 other people have been wounded. This comes just 10 days after 13 people were shot at a grocery store in Buffalo, New York. 10 people were killed during that murderous rampage. Tonight, we examine the circumstances as we know them around the latest shooting in Texas and ask, why does this keep happening? We begin tonight with mental health therapist Dr. Ashley Elliott and Matthew Horace, former ATF special agent in charge, and you, the listener. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at HFisherWHUR or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Dr. Elliott and Mr. Horace, thank you so much for joining the conversation.
Good evening, and thanks for having me.
Let me start with you, Matthew. We don't know a lot about the circumstances surrounding this shooting. We only know the casualties as they're being reported moment by moment. But kind of give me a breakdown of what federal agents now on the scene are doing to try to piece together this deadly puzzle.
Well, you know, first they need to find out how he acquired the firearm, if the firearm was legally or illegally owned and possessed, and if anyone else was responsible. They'll be checking through social media to determine if there were any signs that he was going to commit this despicable act. They'll be interviewing family members and friends, anyone who knew the suspect, to determine how this could have been avoided. At the end of the day, it's too late to stop it, but now we need to understand what and why and how this happened.
One of the things, as I said in the beginning of this program, was this was the second mass shooting in this country in less than a month. 10 days ago, as I said, 13 people gunned down at Tops Friendly Market in Buffalo, New York. 10 of those people were killed. Most of the people who were shot were black. All 10 of the people who died were black. Any similarities from your perspective, or are these just two completely different and yet horrible incidents?
I think from what we know now, they are completely different in profile. We'll know a little bit more within the next 12 to 24 hours, but there are no real striking similarities in my view. The bottom line is this is just unspeakable violence. And again, I mean, as a country, we're failing.
Explain that.
Well, if you look at what's happened over the past 10 to 20 years, and these things just keep evolving, and we keep saying our thoughts and prayers go out to families and friends, and there's been no consequential change. And people keep looking to law enforcement to solve the problem, when we all know that the problem is much greater than law enforcement. Mm-hmm. Federal law enforcement enforces the laws that are enacted by Congress. What is Congress doing to make these things more difficult for people to commit and de-incentivize the idea that guns are the answer to everything, mm-hmm, over and over and over again?
Dr. Elliott, we haven't heard this yet, but I'm sure within the next 12 hours or so, maybe even as long as 24 hours, we're going to see the issue of mental health come up. And depending on, you know, which side of this debate you're on, we may hear that This shooter may have had mental health problems. We may hear that the shooter in the Buffalo incident has mental health problems. But isn't it just possible that the people behind these horrific shootings are just bad people and know exactly what they're doing, and that no amount of mental health counseling prior to this could have possibly helped us to avoid these things happening?
So I definitely want, I hear that a lot. We talk about mental health when it comes to these tragedies. And again, my heart goes out to all of those affected by a series of mass shootings. There also was a shooting at a church shooting in South Carolina and it was in the last couple of days as well. We've been plagued by tragedy. And I think we talk about mental health because, yes, your mental health and wellness does impact your behavior. But something that I say countless times to my clients, to family, to friends, to my community, your mental health, as far as symptomology and intensity of symptoms and increasing frequency of symptoms, it does not absolve you from your behaviors. You're still accountable for the things that you do while in an episode, while experiencing active symptoms. And yes, there are people who this has nothing to do with a mental health crisis. It has more to do with indoctrination, belief systems, how they were raised, their views, whether they be political or cultural. And it has very little to do with mental health. I know in regard to Buffalo, I had to explain to people on a couple of times on social media and in talking that racism is not a mental health diagnosis as far as that is concerned. That is a set of beliefs that is prejudice, that is judgment, that is ignorance and hatred. Now, we don't know what's going on in this situation in Texas, but when it comes to your mental health, there are certain times that aggressive acts should not be synonymous with mental health related issues. I want to, you know, create that dialogue as well. Because someone is actively experiencing issues with their mental health does not necessarily mean they're going to be a violent person or harm other people or commit heinous acts like what we've seen through these tragedies. And there are some people that are beyond the scope of our competency when it comes to treatment. And those people do benefit from long-term rehabilitation centers where they can have monitored supervised care. Or sometimes, unfortunately, they find themselves in other situations and other environments that aren't, they're unsavory, but they feed what they're looking for as far as their emotional intelligence goes and as their longing to belong or to fit in or to identify goes. So these people were not under my care, but it could be possible that a person just is beyond treatment, just like some people aren't ready to go to get treatment for mental health related issues. There are people who treatment would not be the best thing for them, given personality type or given other characteristics that would hinder their progress.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about yet another mass shooting in America. 14 children and a teacher shot to death at an elementary school in Uvalde, Texas, 85 miles west of San Antonio. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Phil, calling from Woodbridge. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Phil, are you there? Phil, one more time. Phil, give me a call.
Hello, this is Phil. How you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. What's on your mind?
You know, we keep beating around the bush. You know, we talk about policies. We talk about everything else. Let's get real. Let's get really real to it. The bottom line is when we took God out of schools, we took God out of everything, that's why we have the problems we have. A lot of this is not no mental problems. A lot of this is what we're watching on TV. Look what they show on TV. People need to get back to Christ. That's the bottom line. That's the only thing that's going to help this world. Change the heart of men is the word of God. Until we get back to the Bible, people gonna continue doing what they want to do. They see things on TV. We got perverts. We got all this stuff going on out here. We keep saying, why does it keep going on? Well, if you read the Bible, it says it's going to happen because we got away from Christ.
Okay, Phil, what you're suggesting is that, for example, the shooting in Buffalo has its faith-based issues. That's a racism thing. We've heard that some white Christian and evangelicals, they're in church, and yet you've seen some of those who have had racist bents defend these kinds of actions. You know, you can talk about that. We can talk about the shooting at the Taiwanese Presbyterian Church in Laguna Woods that happened the day after the shooting in Buffalo. That was political. Okay, and now we don't know what the basis is of this. And so you're saying in those three examples that I just mentioned, you say that there's a faith-based solution?
I'm saying get back to the Word of God. That's the bottom line. Until we get back to the Word of God, Herman, unfortunately, things can continue on. The only thing that's going to change men's heart is the Word of God.
Okay, well, thank you, Phil. And let's get back to the word of my name, which is Harold. Thank you so much. Let me go to Kathy, calling from D.C. Kathy, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, Harold.
Hi.
Yes, Kathy Henderson in the District of Columbia. We have individuals with underlying mental health issues, you know, that are in our population, that are in our workplaces, and they have triggers. But when you have a national defund the police message, some of these people feel now is their opportunity to act on their homicidal ideation. You know, they've been having these fantasies for a long time. But when you have a constant, steady news media of defund the police, you know, they think in their minds that, okay, this is my opportunity, and I'm going to be able to do this with impunity, and I'm going to be able to relieve my stress by taking out as many people as possible.
So
unfortunately, until we get a grip on understanding that we need the police, we want the police to be accountable, we want them to be officer friendly, and we want them to be well trained and responsive, but we need the police, and we want to make sure that individuals that have these fantasies, that they are not empowered to act on them.
I completely disagree with you, because I don't see what defunding the police has anything to do with preventative measures in mass shootings. Can you help me with that, Matthew? Because I'm not sure one has anything to do with the other. Matthew, Horace, can you hear me?
I can. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go right ahead, please.
I said, yeah, no, I can't align the two. What I can say is there is enough rhetoric out here that can cause people to create their own triggers based on the things that they see and hear. And I think that's fairly reasonable to expect. But even with that, just like our colleague said tonight, no matter what the mental illness is, no one gets a get out of jail free card for committing these acts, because they're inherently wrong, right? They're illegal, and they're despicable. I think as long as we keep leaning on that idea that, you know, there's all these different reasons why, and I have to agree, we don't know what triggers people to do certain things. And then we investigate it after the event, and we learn invariably almost 90% of the time that someone knew, saw, heard, smelled, or thought something prior to, but no one acted on what they saw, heard, or thought.
Yeah. Matthew Horace, former ATF agent in charge, thank you so much for your expertise during the course of this conversation. Also, Kathy, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about yet another mass shooting in America, this one at an elementary school in Uvalde, Texas. Ken, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Ken. What's on your mind?
Hey, just I was a police officer nearly 30 years and coming close to retirement. We've had in this nation over 200 murders in Chicago, over 186 in Philadelphia. The list is endless. And what happens is the media tends to focus on larger mass shootings, but not on the daily shootings, which if you speak with a family or check an obituary, it is no different. You know, this issue compounds itself over time. And at some point, and I think what the caller was referencing is that defunding, and again, I do this, defunding doesn't necessarily mean removing police. It means moving money to services to help the police, like social services, people with mental illnesses and things like that, so that there are actually people on call, but not to lessen the police, to put more money into the system. But again, this is a legislative issue. And until we start, as black people in particular, demanding our members of Congress to force them to vote on things that only affect our community. And it's because we kind of group things up with America as opposed to directing with the race issue in and of itself, meaning what we need and desire. So until then, yes, we need to get back to Christ, but not everybody's hearing his word and not everybody reads the book. Until then, you're living in man's world. We're in a war.
Yeah.
Stay strong.
Yeah. Ken, thank you so much for your input. 202-319-7810. Before I go to the break, Dr. Elliott, you know, your thoughts about what the lady was saying about the mental health issue. It almost seems to me like she did not hear what you were saying in the beginning of the program.
Yeah. I also would like to thank Ken for, you know, clearing up that about defunding. Because it does not mean, you know, disassemble the police force. It means allocate funds in a way that it will be community restorative instead of a reactive situation. But yeah, people have underlying mental health issues and there are triggers. And as Matthew was saying, when we create a profile, a psychological profile for someone, we don't know much until after the fact. And when we're talking about here, I think what we need to be focused on is not just being reactive, but proactive when we talk about mental health and wellness, and wellness needs. So we need to talk about mental health background checks when it comes to weapons, when it comes to licensing, when it comes to owning a firearm. We need to make sure that community mental health services are not being taken away from underserved communities. We need to make sure that mental health services are being provided more adequately in schools, especially middle schools, high schools, college, elementary schools. We need to make sure that these things are ongoing so that we can reach people before a tipping point. We want to reach you before you hit the edge. We want to reach you before you hit the wall. And we need more the power that be to put more funds and more legislative power behind programs that can help us come together as a community and not constantly be responding as a community to incidents like this.
Dr. Elliott, I'm going to let you take a moment to clear up the frog in your throat. We are going to take a break. Don't forget, you can hear every edition of the Daily Drum Inside segment via podcast on WHUR.com. And don't forget to download the 96.3 HD2 app on your smartphone and hear the program live in its entirety. Stretches in for John Mons on the original Quiet Storm. That's on WHUR. This conversation continues on Sirius XM Channel 141 in just a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we are taking a closer look at a horrific mass shooting incident in Uvalde, Texas. Happening today, 14 children killed, a teacher killed, the gunman also killed by police on the scene. All of this happening 85 miles west of San Antonio at an elementary school. Of course, all of this coming just 10 days after 13 people were shot at a grocery store in Buffalo, New York, a mass shooting there. 10 black people killed during that murderous rampage. Tonight, we continue our conversation with mental health therapist Dr. Ashley Elliott, and joining us now, Frank Burton, retired FBI agent and former hostage negotiator. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Mr. Burton, thank you so much for joining the conversation.
Good evening, Harold, and thank you for having me.
So from your perspective, where do you believe federal agents are right now, and how do they find out what may be the motive behind this terrible incident when the shooter is dead?
Yeah. Like Matt said earlier, and as far as FBI is concerned, right now it's too early to determine the extent of our involvement because everybody's gathering information. Like Matt said as well, they're scouring his social media, they're talking to family members. And what we would be looking at as the FBI is, could we connect it to a domestic terrorism incident, and or if it was racially motivated, like the Buffalo shooting, we could attach a hate crime to it. So, mm-hmm. But right now, they're just still gathering information.
And to that point, the shooter, Salvador Ramos, is of Hispanic background. We don't know the racial or ethnic backgrounds of the teacher or the 14 students or even the 13 people who have been wounded in this incident. But we do know that Border Patrol agents were part of this incident and may very well have been the ones who killed the shooter. And so we know that in this part of Texas, there are immigration issues. But, you know, how might this be racial if the victims are of Hispanic descent, the shooter, Hispanic descent? Your thoughts about that?
Yeah, and when you say racial, as I said, hate crime, not necessarily racial. You can be Hispanic and still... So when you have a hate crime, you commit that crime based on somebody's race, origin, or ethnicity, or, you know, social background. So you can have Hispanic within Hispanic, Black within Black. So it doesn't have to be an opposite race against a race. We would look at the contents in our laws that would make us evaluate and investigate that specific crime.
Thank you for sharing your thoughts on that. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Ray, calling from Maryland. Ray, thanks for hanging on. What's on your mind?
No problem. I think this conversation speaks to a much, much greater and sinister problem. One simply needs to look overseas at many other Western countries, and this situation simply does not happen. It simply does not happen at all. One of the reasons it does not happen is because they have social safety nets. So even in a place like Germany, which is a heavily populated country, as late as 2013, the policemen in Germany for one whole year only used 85 bullets the whole year. 46 of those shots were warning shots. Iceland, one citizen killed by a policeman in its entire history. You know, for sake of time, I could tell you, I could name 25 countries right now where there were less than 10 shootings by police. Absolutely no mass shootings whatsoever. And if they do happen, they're an anomaly. The fact of the matter is there is a mass psychosis going on that even Black people as aggressive as me give rights too much leeway in the fact that we're 4% of the world's population, and we have more guns than any place in the world. We actually have more guns than people. And so when we talk about mental health, forget about the users for a second. What is it with our country where we accept this, where no other country in the world does? And I would submit to you that we're all under a certain pathological denial that we allow this to continue to happen over and over again. And even in Newtown, Connecticut, where it was young white children killed, those same white senators and congressmen that make and allow for these laws still didn't move. As the late, great Francis Cresswellson has told us over and over again, the gun for the white male is his phallic symbol, his only measure of power, and he has used it recklessly since time immemorial.
Ray, thank you so much for your thoughts. I will ask you about that, Frank, because we heard from Texas Senator Ted Cruz earlier today, a big proponent of the Second Amendment, and he talked extensively with reporters about his reaction to this horrific crime. And during that time, he mentioned nothing about guns. He talked about safety in schools. He talked about support of police officers. He talked about mental health, but nothing about guns.
Yeah, Ray brought out some very important points as he gave you the statistics about different countries. In this country, we sensationalize gun violence and through the video games, to a lot of different things. And this is just a personal opinion from me in agreement with the Ray. I don't see a need, and you know, everybody has the right to bear arms. I get that. I have a few firearms as well. I'm a retired law enforcement officer. But I really don't see a need to have AR-15s and M-16s and MAC-10s and all these kind of weapons that are created to kill people for mass destruction in war. It is a problem. One of the things that I heard earlier that you guys were talking about, and I think that Dr. Elliott said it as well, when we start talking about mental health, one of the things that we're not looking at, you know, mental health, everybody thinks that you're talking about crazy people and you put it off as he's going to get off with an insanity defense, but there's a whole nother proponent to mental health. Mental health is a disorder that affects your mind and your mood and your behavior. So if we just look at the last 3 years of COVID, everybody has been experiencing complex trauma, right? And so even myself, and last year I lost both my parents within 6 months of each other due to COVID, and they weren't sick. My mom was 80, my dad was 83. I'm a pastor of a church. So even as a pastor since 2000, we've had to pastor different because we got to deal with people with complex trauma. When you look at the last shootings in the last week that you just mentioned, all of them are different, and Matt said it as well. We have to account for the fact, again, I'm not making an excuse. Guns don't kill people. People do. But we have to account to take in consideration all of this complex trauma. And like Matt said, every mass shooting that I've worked, somebody knew something, and people are just not talking about it. We got to do better at that.
Mm-hmm. Our condolences on the loss of your parents. I can't imagine how devastating, you know, that was, particularly when they were in good health prior to coming down with COVID.
Thank you, Harold.
Yeah, let me go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Eric, calling from Clinton. Thanks for hanging on. Eric, what's on your mind?
With these mass shootings,
mm-hmm.
we also have to look at, as the previous two guest speakers have said, Western countries other than the United States, they don't have gun violence because the penalties for even possessing a gun and firing a gun, unless it's in self-defense, is extremely harsh.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, with the mental defect with as far as COVID and everything else, it is very true. I'm not saying to defund the police. I'm saying to give them more funding, but direct it, instead of giving them guns, let's give them more resources to have them more qualified. Because in other countries, you're a recruit for 2 years. Before you hit the streets, you're a recruit for 2 years going through mental stressors and everything to see how you react to situations. We put our officers in an academy for at the most 8 to 9 months, and they're out there on the streets. They don't even have a law degree. They don't have no specific area that they're working in. They have very little training. They're put out there. With this latest mass shooting, my point is, Buffalo, he was a white man who was taken into custody. Here, you have a Hispanic person of color who was killed on the spot. We have a disparity going on with our training. If we're being trained to take them down, let's take them down so we can find out what the root cause is. If they're going to shoot first and ask questions later, make it across the board.
Mm-hmm. Eric, thank you so much for your comments. Dr. Elliott, I've seen this issue pop up on social media since the Buffalo shooting. And I think it is profound and so incredibly true, where the shooter in Buffalo, Peyton Gendron, he was 18 years old. Mm-hmm. The shooter today, he was 18 years old. Mm-hmm. And we have seen, time and time again, very, very young people. I think the shooter in Minnesota was 17 or 18 years old. And it makes me, want to ask, what were the parents doing or not doing that, because eventually, we're going to hear from law enforcement where they're going to say, yes, we're now talking to parents and they are cooperating. And as is the case in the Buffalo shooting, the parents have said they did not know. I can tell you quite honestly, when I was 18 years old, there was very little that my parents did not know about me. Okay. And so I don't understand how parents can say they did not know in the wake of these shootings.
Mm-hmm. It's difficult. I giggled because there was a lot of 18 my mama didn't know about me. But,
you're a different generation.
Yes, totally, it's a generation, right? And that's my point. It's a different time, especially when we talk about people who are between 16 and 22 right now. We're raised differently, and there was a lot of isolation. There's a lot of difference in socialization and independence and autonomy than with the parents of my cohort or my mom or my grandmom, uncles and aunties. It's different as far as the information that we provide. Like, my mother knew my friends. She knew their names. She knew their parents' names. And we live in a generation now where a lot of kids are fiercely independent, whether it be because they have different responsibilities at home, because their parents are working professionals that have to divide their time differently, whether they're under different caregivers' roofs, where there are multiple kids that they have to be accountable for, responsible for. Or just, we live in a world where everything is now microwaved very quick, very short. I would come in and tell my mom, oh, I'm about to go up the street to go to this person's house. And now you have kids who just text, I'm going here, you know. And the communication has changed. And how much we are communicating with our children has changed. And I've definitely seen that over the pandemic. I talk to kids and I talk to parents a lot about having more engaging conversations with your kids that are more than how was school today? What did you do in school today? How was your day? Have conversations that don't just lead to yes or no questions, yes or no answers. Have conversations about how your children are feeling, what's going on. I always ask my child, what's one thing that made you happy today and what's one thing that you wish you could change? I ask my child, if you had a bad day, what made it bad? What would have made it better? Is there something that any adult or any kid could have done or any kid in your class could have done to make it better? And check in with, I know a lot of teens right now are feeling very conflicted when it comes to socialization because they feel they've been robbed of the chance to socialize as their older peers have because of the pandemic. So you also have that, Check in with your children, no matter how big or small they are, on a regular basis to ask them questions pertaining to their mental health and wellness, mm-hmm. to ask them questions about depression, to ask them questions about what is angering them, what's bothering them, even if it's a political connected question. If it's what makes you so upset about that? How do you feel that it impacts you so you won't feel like you're raising a stranger. And yeah. I know that sometimes teenagers, they feel like, well, they're a little off. Have you changed your approach? Don't just ask questions and get mad when you get shot down. Ask it a different way. Ask, well, what should I be asking you? What should I know about you? What are you interested? What scares you? What motivates you? What could I do to make you feel more loved, more seen, more heard, more acknowledged? Because it starts at home. And then sometimes there are parents who are doing all of that, but because of other factors, maybe friends, maybe some chemical imbalances due to mental illness, that other people may just still take a path where it's like, yeah, I don't have a connection with them like that. Not because they can't provide it, but because I'm running on a different motor. I'm running for a different different motivation. And that doesn't mean they're a bad kid. They're a kid that made some bad decisions, and they never had conversations of substance with people who cared about them to help them understand why those decisions were bad.
Let me interrupt you, Dr. Elliott. We are now getting reports of more casualties in this shooting. We are now hearing that there are 20 reported dead, 18 of them children in this incident at this elementary school in Texas. Before I go to you, Mr. Burton, I need to take another phone call. Aaron, calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, I honestly feel as though that this shooting, first of all, it's very sad.
Absolutely.
My parents went to everyone's family. But I honestly feel as though since everyone and anyone is allowed to have a firearm in Texas, that is a big fault right there. Because you never know who could be carrying that. You never know what that person could be thinking or what that person's intentions are. And because of that, here's an example right here. The children are now in heaven with God, and the teacher is gone, and the families will never get that back. And they'll never be able to see their children again, and there's no way to bring them back. It's not right.
Yeah.
And I honestly feel that everybody should have a right to defend themselves, but I don't think it's the right way to let anyone and everyone have a firearm. That's not the right way to go.
Thank you, Aaron. Thank you for sharing with us. Before I go to Coach O, Dr. Elliott, and I also need your input, Mr. Burton, as well. But you know, Dr. Elliott, because now we have this report of 20 people dead, 18 children. We also heard reports earlier that there were children who were jumping out of windows. They actually witnessed this. There were others in the school who witnessed this slaughter. What mental impact will this have on the survivors in the short term and in the long term? What kind of support will they need? My goodness, what kind of support will children who are watching this from other parts of the country need from their parents?
It's definitely, and I also read that most of these babies were between second and fourth grade.
So that's correct.
Imagine. So anybody who witnesses a traumatic event can be, the possibility of them having post-traumatic stress disorder, the possibility of depression, anxiety, insomnia due to night terrors, and just an aversion to school, not wanting to go to school, a separation anxiety, not wanting to be away from parents or caregivers. All of these things are possibilities when it comes to the mental health impact. I say talk to your children. Show them the most affection and love and respect that you can after this, because what they've seen is something that adults can't even process. You know, they're seeing something and they're going through something while their brains are still changing and they're still making judgment calls and still developing representations of what the world looks like. So while you cannot shield your child from everything, make sure that you are being as enriching, as encouraging, as loving, as supporting as you can. Ask questions. And also understand it's okay to disconnect for everyone. We can't consistently consume trauma. We either get desensitized and we don't respond, or we constantly feel like we're in fight or flight mode. We're constantly irritated, saddened, angered, and that's not good for our hearts, our bodies, our minds, our spirits.
Yeah.
So while we're trying to process everything that's going on, this is for the babies that were involved or if your children or you have any concerns, one, disconnect if you need to.
Yeah.
You can't, don't just keep listening to the same stories over and over. It does not mean that you don't care. It means that you care about yourself and you need to take a moment. Answer questions in the most developmentally appropriate manner. You know, so kids can feel safe. Right now, kids want to feel safe and they want to know that their parents, that there's someone here for them during this scary time.
Mr. Burton, your thoughts?
Yeah, Harold, I totally agree with Dr. Elliott. We have to break this cycle in our culture about therapy and therapists.
Yeah.
I can tell you firsthand, you said what kind of reaction would it have? It's going to leave an indelible mark on all of these kids and people who saw it. I was involved in the 9/11 rescue and recovery. So when those people were jumping out of those buildings at those heights to, rather than burn,
mm-hmm.
to just die, well, I was part of the rescue and the recovery. So that never leaves you.
Mm.
And so like Dr. Elliott said, if you have a parent that you can talk to, make sure you talk about your feelings. If you have definitely a therapy. We got to break this thing about going to therapy. You're weak. It's not being weak, because, like Dr. Elliott said, the number one killer that we have in our communities is stress.
Mm-hmm.
And it's taking us out of here. So we ball it up and we pack it up and we stress out and catch heart attacks and strokes and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
The other thing, if you don't have a therapist or a parent, you're a pastor. I'm a pastor. I've been a pastor for 20 years. Pastors are great at talking about and giving you spiritual guidance as well. So we're able to do that. And finally, if you don't feel comfortable with any of that, make sure you go and you talk to a mentor. The last thing that I would say, Harold, about this is there was another shooting in 2020 that occurred, and a guy named Anthony Farrell, all the way out in Molson, in Milwaukee, Molson Coors electrician. So what happened was, this guy was eating lunch. He messed around, got finished eating lunch, 51 years old. After he ate lunch, he got up, went to his locker, came back, and killed five of his coworkers. But here's what I'm saying, is when we look at this and we see everything, what people don't understand and what people don't deal with is what I said before, that trauma, complex trauma. 5 years prior, in 2015, some white coworkers hung a noose in his locker. He went to HR. Nothing was done.
Oh,
he became paranoid. His family members knew he was paranoid. He carried a handgun in his pocket and two on his waist. People knew it. And then one day he just exploded because nobody dealt with the trauma from 5 years ago, and he just exploded.
Yeah,
we got to do better in talking this stuff out.
Well said. Coach O, calling from Baltimore. I appreciate your patience. What's on your mind?
Hello to your guests and panel, and please forgive me for my statements if they offend anyone. I want to give blessings to, the children and their families. But I want to give blessings to the Black community in Baltimore and all over the world, you know, including outside of America. I think we're in a particular state in the universe right now. We're in a time that a lot of people probably wouldn't understand, and I'm not even going too heavy, but there's a lot of mental illness out there, but there's a lot of misled people.
Mm-hmm.
And forgive me to all the pastors, but I think our biggest problem is most people have Stockholm syndrome or a version of it. It's no coincidence that the majority of Black people are of the religions that enslaved us the most, you know, and to me, that's just insane. when we get away from that and understand exactly who we are and where we're from and the power that we have, I think things would, we would take our proper place. There's going to be killings like this in this next 50 to 100 years over and over and over again. I explained that to politicians 10 years ago about the killings in Baltimore, how rapid it was going to be, and they didn't understand.
But let me, but hold on, Coach, let me, and you don't have to apologize for having an opinion, okay? Let's first say that. But, and I'm sure that, that Frank can talk about this. We don't, you know, statistically, no matter whether there's a faith-based issue here or not, but, you know, we, you know, when this shooting happened today, when the shooting happened in Buffalo, when the shooting happened, I think it was in Michigan, when it happened in California, when it happened in Charleston, knock on wood, there was never a question in my mind as to whether or not that person was black. That black people are not committing these crimes, Coach.
Okay.
Hold on, because I only have a little bit of time. Yes, they are in our urban centers. Yes, they are shooting, and they're shooting each other. That's a completely different issue. We're talking about mass shootings, and the last time there was a black person who committed a mass shooting, that, you know, that was the D.C. area sniper, and that was a diversion. You know, because he was angry at his ex-wife. But this kind of shooting, this is a whole different thing. Frank, I've got 30 seconds. I'll let you have the last word on that.
Well, can I respond?
Yeah, please. No, okay. No, because I only have 30 seconds. Frank, go ahead.
Yeah, Harold, and just to be correct, the last black mass shooter that we had was a guy in New York as well. But what we got to do is we got to do better, because if you look at statistics, according to CrowdSource last week, in this country, we got 693 mass shootings in the United States, 703 dead, 3,545 total victims. It's so much more, like I said before, than being racial. It's so much more than being, again, we got to deal with, like Dr. Elliott said, we got to deal with the trauma. We also got to look at these gun laws. No way around it. We got to look at these gun laws, and these automatic high-powered weapons need to be, they need to be addressed.
Yeah.
By rules and policy.
Coach, like I said, got to go. Don't apologize for your opinion. I appreciate your phone call. Dr. Ashley Elliott, Frank Burton, Matthew Horace, thank you all for talking to us. That is the Daily Drum for this Tuesday, May 24th. I'm Harold Fisher. Good night.